the main event of today. The main event that we have a very mighty man of God who's a guest speaker who's going to come and say something really, really awesome to us. So, can you give a hand to James Pierce?
And this is the fourth week of our Treasure Hunters series, but of course we're going to start off with a video. As I start, I want to do a rewind over the past 3 weeks. Because what Pastor Mark has been telling us is actually so, so, so powerful. And I think some of us need to not rethink it, but look at it a little bit more in depth. I want to let you know that this is it, if we haven't been getting it. Week one was finding your passion, and we said that it's a God-given desire that compels you to make a difference. Let me tell you, God gave you your passions for a reason. He's not going to put this passion, put this desire, put this burning in your life and then say, haha, but no, actually I've got other plans. No. This passion that God has put inside your life is the thing that's going to keep you going and keep you pushing when times get tough. So many people, they go through life without their passion, and we see them. They're those ones who are frustrated. They're the ones who grumble about their jobs, and they go from 9 to 5, and they're always complaining, and they're saying, oh, you know what. And it's these people who their dreams have died, and let me tell you, God doesn't want that. God's given you this passion to keep you going, and not only is it the thing that's going to get you inspired and happy, and it's the thing that's going to fulfill your life, but if you don't have it, and if you don't seek after it like we were looking at in week one, you're going to get yourself into trouble. It's the people without passion that start finding other ways. It's those frustrated, tired, sick people who are the ones that start doing dodgy stuff and who get themselves into trouble. They, those big CEOs that you hear about messing around with their secretaries. They, those housewives who are frustrated and start doing things around the neighborhood. They're those people who just want to make a statement, who start rebelling. If you don't have passion in your life, and it's the passion that God has given you, you're going to find yourself getting into trouble eventually. But if you seek after it, like God is, it's a blessing. These are the things in your life that he wants to make you move. It's the thing that's going to keep you excited and moving and passionate and making each day in technicolor. After that, we spoke about finding your mission, and we said it's what you want to be and do to others to impact them positively during your lifetime. This is the difference between a mission, is the difference between civilians and soldiers. Now, when we talk about this thing, we're not about a mission. We're not saying that when you focus and you have this mission for your life, and obviously it's a part of that mission is to glorify God and it's to help others as we saw. We're not saying that when you get a mission, you stop having fun. Let me tell you, soldiers, they dance and they laugh and they joke, probably more so than normal people even. But the difference is that if a civilian tries to go into a war zone, they're going to get traumatized. They're going to get killed. This mission is the thing that sets us apart. It's that thing that we're living our lives with an awareness of, and it's guiding our steps. I just want to add on to that, that it's your decision to accept that mission or not. You get to choose whether to accept that mission. And some of us need to fully commit to it. Jesus speaks about that. He said, I want you to be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. We can't be trying to be civilians in a world of soldiers. The week after that, we spoke about destiny, and Pastor Mark said that some of you weren't here for that. But we said that it's a specific task that God has placed you on earth to accomplish. It's the manifestation of that mission. It's when your passion and your mission and everything around you all of a sudden comes together. It's that moment in which your life seems to make sense, that God has put you on there, and you've got this adrenaline rush, and it's all happening. And you know that this is what you're here to do. This week we're talking about finding your way. How do we get there? These things are great. They're blessings that God has put in our lives. They're these amazing things. But sometimes it doesn't quite work out. Obviously, we look around and we see that. Last week, I want to start off, really, this what I'm saying today, by where Pastor Mark ended off. And he ended off with this quote by Winston Churchill in the middle of World War II when Britain was in a bit of trouble. He made an announcement to the country over radio, and he said this: to every man that comes in his lifetime, that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered a chance to do a very special thing, unique to him and fitted to his talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work which would be his finest hour. Unfortunately, we see that all the time. We see those people who are frustrated with their lives, who aren't living with their passions, who aren't passionate. We see these people who call themselves Christians or not even, just people in the world who kind of wander around aimlessly and their actions, there's no guiding force behind their actions apart from what I want to do, kind of. And I'm just going with the flow. And so many people miss their destiny. They walk through life and their destiny walks just by them. And years later, maybe not even, they think, man, I missed it. That was my chance. So why? Why? If let me tell you, God has given it to everyone. Maybe you'll say, well, I'm not going to reach these things, these treasures. I'm not going to find these treasures, reach these treasures, because God hasn't given me a destiny. No. In Jeremiah, it says, first of all, Jeremiah says, I can't do this, or this isn't me. And God immediately says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Later on, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. He has these treasures set out for you. He has these things ready. Maybe some of us will say, well, sure, I had that, but I've fallen. I've taken too many wrong turns. My sin, you know what, maybe at one stage, but now I'm too broken. I'm too empty. You can't use me. Moses said the same thing, and God kind of told him to keep quiet. And he started telling him, no, it doesn't matter. It's in Romans that God says, the giftings and callings that I've put in your life are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. You know, you can't lose your destiny. You can't lose your mission or these passions that God has put in your life. No matter what you do, you can't lose them. Doesn't matter how much you sin. Okay, well, not that I'm saying that, but you know what I mean. God's not going to say, you know what? Actually, I can't use you. I'm going to have to throw you on the trash pile. God never throws us on the trash pile. He always says, I'm there for you. So then, if we all have it and we can't actually lose these things, why do we not reach them? If we've put them down, so many people that we have it in our heads, we know kind of what we're passionate about, we have a mission in our minds, even if we haven't written it down, and we're not sure about our destiny, but we have an idea of what we meant to do, or we have an idea of what we want to do, and yet we don't reach it. I'd like to suggest that it's because it's made of single steps taken one at a time, okay? Sometimes leaps like that, but more often it's those simple, small little steps. Because people will say, I want to do this and this, and they point, and they paint this big picture, and they say, I know what I want to do. And yet, even as they're saying it, they're pointing over there, and they keep telling you, I want to become a Springbok rugby player. I want to become the next Michael Jackson. I want to become the next Taylor Swift. I want to do whatever. And slowly but surely, as they're pointing in that direction, they're walking in the wrong way. And 20 years later, you hear adults say this all the time. It all flashed before my eyes. I don't know how I got here. I blinked, and all of a sudden, I was here. It happens to so many, so many, so many people. And it's because we're not looking at those small steps. A few times I've given a speech and to secular audiences, not to anyone in a church or to any church group, and it was called the Power of Short-Sightedness. And in it, I told the story about how when I was in grade 2 and still cute and I was still nice and happy and smiley and people liked me and they used to, like, give me sweets for fun. I sat down in class one day and the teacher started explaining stuff on the board and I couldn't see what was being written. I just saw this mass of squiggles, these massive lines, and I was about midway through the class. My eyesight had gone completely kaput and we went to the optometrist and they said, listen, you're going to have glasses and strong glasses for the rest of your life. Or you can do these exercises, and we went to the exercises, my eyes were fine in the end. But for a long time, as I sat there in class, the teacher would start explaining things on the board, and back then it was adding like 20 and 13, and it was a big thing back in the day, so please don't judge. I was struggling a lot with it because I couldn't see what was going on. And everybody else in the class, they were saying, okay, great, we see this, and they could see how it was done. They saw the big picture. I was forced to look at the only place that I could see at that moment. It was right down at my textbook. And as everyone else was speeding through and learning, I had to struggle out every single little step. And it was horrible at first, but then after a while, I started doing better than them. And I was like, what? I can't see what's on the board. And it was exactly because of that thing that I had to take it step by step by step. And yet so often in life, people will see the big picture and they'll say these things. They'll say, I'm passionate about whatever. This is my mission. I know what I'm kind of aiming for in life. And yet slowly but surely, they start taking steps in the opposite direction. We're going to, after this, I'm going to give the background behind this and bring it home a bit more. But now we're going to quickly go through these questions like we've been doing in the past few weeks and fill along some steps. The first one was, what is my destiny? If you weren't here earlier on, put in your passion. Put in your mission, because this is how we're getting to those places. So if it's your destiny, it's that specific task that I've been equipped for and meant to accomplish to raise up people and glorify God. What's that thing in your life? And if it's your passion, what is that thing that moves me, that gets me moving, that gets me excited? If it's your mission, how am I planning to live my life? What are the parameters that I'm operating with? How am I going through this life? And we're going to start looking at, what am I actually doing with this? Am I just saying it? Because it's great. We've been looking at it the past few weeks, and yet it's so easy to just say it or write it on a piece of paper. What steps am I taking right now to move towards that? If I want to change the poor in Africa, I want to get rid of poverty, am I interacting with the poor? Am I volunteering? If I want to become a great musician, next Michael Jackson, am I recording songs, even if it's just me and my friends? Am I choreographing dances? If I want to become an author, am I taking steps in that direction? Am I writing every week? Think about what you said in those first weeks. What are those things that God has placed in your mind? But tougher question, what am I doing that moves me away from my destiny? What are those steps? And they're small steps, please remember. They're these small little things that moment by moment will say, you know what? I'll do this, and it's fine, because no, it's not a big deal, and we take another small step, and it's fine, 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 and I don't want to talk about homework and exams, because we're all sick of that by now, and it's coming up, but it's a great example, because especially as a student, we know that moment in which it's like, should I? You know what? It'll be fine, and that's the biggest lie that we tell ourselves as teenagers, as human beings. In the world, we just say, you know what, it's fine because it is so small. And I agree with you, it is small. But what are those steps that I'm taking? What do I need to be or do or have to accomplish my destiny? What are those resources? What are those skills? What are those relationships that I need to have? If I want to work for the United Nations one day, am I building relationship? Have I phoned someone up? Have I gone to the United Nations Center in Pretoria? If I want to become, let's say, a dancer, am I seeking out dancers? Am I looking for people? Am I building a relationship with them? What resources, what skills do I need to have? Am I working towards that? The classic thing that everyone says, I want to go to university and get a great degree and then become rich one day, and then they add on, and I'm going to give it all my money to the poor, and that makes it great, right? So they say this, and yet slowly but surely, they take those little steps away from it. I want to go to varsity, but you know what, right now it's party time. And that's good as well, once again. But it's these steps that you're taking. A series of steps in a certain direction is a habit, both good and bad. Habits are the things that will eventually, they're the path. They're the way that you're taking to wherever you're going. What habits am I building into my life slowly but surely and making it a part of everything I do as I go towards my destiny, or not? So, if someone could help me hand these things out, that'd be great. We're going to go through this. Could you? Thanks, sir. We've got about 10 odd minutes. And I'll put it back at first. Do it at your own pace. But we need to start thinking about, if these are such amazing things that Pastor Mark has been speaking about these past few weeks, if this is it, if this is the culmination, the point of my life, if this is the thing that I should be aware of every single moment, how is that seen in my life? We've got about 10 minutes for that. If you're done sooner, share it with the person next to you. Tell them what habits and what things you're going to be implementing and putting in your life to start moving towards it. Once again, just try do it personally and try fill it in and make those decisions yourself, and then afterwards share it with someone to support you in that. I'd like to ask you all to do something a little bit scary with this as well. Maybe not scary, maybe more irritating in some ways. Because it's so easy and it's so nice, and it is great, I agree, to take those little steps. Once you've taken that home and maybe write that down on another piece of paper for yourself, if you could commit to giving it to someone else to keep you on those steps, and I would even say maybe your parents, that's going to be a rough one, especially I heard procrastination and stuff over here. If you can give this to someone, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a friend, whether it's someone, to keep reminding you about that destiny, because as we said at first, it's so easy, and we all know it, to have this big picture in our minds, to have, we know what we're passionate about, we know what we're whatever, and we see it over there. It's so easy for us to start taking steps in the wrong direction, and it looks fine. It really does. Even to our friends, to our parents, it looks great. But if you could give that to someone, just that when you start going in that direction, they point it out to you, it'll help a lot. It might get irritating, but it'll help. And if you're serious about it, this is what we're asking today, really. We're saying the first 3 weeks have been great. Are we serious about this? And if we are serious about it, if we want to do this for our lives, if we want to get this thing, if we want to get this right, let's take solid action. Let's start taking those steps in the right direction. I guess one of the questions is, does this whole thing work? If I take these steps, will it actually work? I mean, obviously in our heads it says, yeah, it makes sense. And it makes sense because it's based on a principle. Now, I want to just talk about principles for a little bit, but start off by saying that principles are blessings. Principles are these things that God has put in the world to show how the world works. And although God is in control, He's not controlling every single little thing, right? If you build a boat badly and the boat sinks, do we blame God? No. If we build a house badly and the house falls down, do we say, oh, God again, hate that guy, always knocking my house down? No, we don't do that. When a baby trips, do we blame God? No. A baby trips because of gravity, because of the principle of gravity. Houses fall down because of principles of engineering. Andy Stanley, and what I'm going to be talking just a bit about now, especially about principles, is from Andy Stanley's series called Taking Responsibility for Your Life. If any of you want to get any more information about it, I'd be happy to after the service. But he talks mainly about the Archimedes principle, which is the principle that explains why a little stone will sink, but a 1,000-ton boat will float. And if you build a boat according to these principles, it will float. And let me tell you something. It will float whether you're Christian, whether you're atheist, whether you're a Satanist, the boat will float because God has put these principles into the world as a blessing. We don't need to build a boat amazingly and it looks great, and we still say, Father, please let that boat float. Please let it float. And although we do pray for those things because it's good, the boat will float if you build it right. God doesn't trip over babies. Babies trip because of gravity. But thank goodness for gravity. It's a blessing. Gravity keeps us down on this earth. Principles are blessings. It means that we don't have to, when we're building boats, God doesn't say randomly, sink, float, float, sink. I like you. You can float, sink, float. No. If the boat is built well, it will float. I'm trying to say this a lot and to get this into your minds, because some people don't like the next thing that I'm going to say pretty soon. Principles are blessings. Principles are the things that we use in our every single day lives to get good things. And one of the biggest itchy things in the Bible, which people associate with all sorts of weird things, but it's a blessing just like any other principle, is this one. New Testament, the principle of sowing and reaping. People complain, they're like, you know what, this isn't for, God's not talking about this, God has forgiven my sins. God has taken this all away. I do this thing and all of a sudden it's fine. God has paid the price on the cross. And I agree. Jesus has paid for our sins. But fortunately for us, God has put principles into this world. And one of the ones is said to the church in Galatians. This is to the Christians, people like you and me. But people don't like it because it starts off by saying, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Andy Stanley likes to say that this bit means, if you translate it into nice, easy to understand English, God is not your mommy and daddy. You can't trick him, right? You can't trick God. That means that when you're at a party and all of a sudden the police are there and you phone your dad and you say, Dad, I don't know what happened. I didn't know there'd be alcohol here and some of it spilt in my mouth. And now, I don't know, the police have me and it just went crazy and I tried to stop them and they just kept spilling into my mouth. And I don't know. And then your dad says, don't worry, son. I'll get there. I'll get you out of it. God is not tricked that way, right? God is not tricked like your parents when you say, I'm doing my homework, don't worry. And then you take out your phone or you go on the internet again. And your mom's like, great, working so hard. Although sometimes it is hard to trick our parents in that way. We still manage to get away with it, right? God cannot be tricked whatsoever. The way that Christians do this, because maybe that's really far-fetched, sure. The way that Christians do this is that we say, or we pray this prayer on Saturday night, or even sometimes during worship on a Sunday morning. It's the amnesia prayer. It's the forget everything prayer. You say, Lord, I'm so sorry for all of this. Please forgive me. And that's a great prayer to pray. But then sometimes we assume that all of a sudden God's had memory. I don't know what you're talking about. You've never sinned before, he says. I don't know what's going on. You are amazing. God forgives you, but let me tell you, he doesn't forget. We can't outsmart God because some of us think we do that. We fill up our sin bucket during the week, and then all of a sudden, Saturday night comes, Sunday morning comes, and we empty it out. And then we say, yeah, got you again, God. And then God's up in heaven, and he's like, oh, man, he got me again. Oh, I'm going to keep watching you, keep a close eye on you. Can't believe you made me forget again. Tricked me there. Oh, can't believe that. Can't believe you managed to do that. I'll get you next time. And next week we do the same thing. And there's God. Oh, this poor like fool. No, God's not tricked. We can't trick God like that. Remember, this is to the Christians. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Whatever we put into our lives, we will get back. Whatever step we take will come back in some way. The principle of sowing and reaping isn't fair. It works like this. What you sow, you will reap later, and you will reap greater. It means that when you plant a seed, as we heard in the offering message, when you plant a seed, a while later, it won't just spring up immediately. A while later, you'll get a plant growing. And that plant is a lot bigger than the seed. But the principle of sowing and reaping, it's the same. It comes back later, and that's why we don't forget. That's why we're not aware of it. That's why it's so easy to take those small steps, because every time we take a step, we don't get hit immediately. But slowly it sits in our life, and years later it'll grow back, and it'll be more than we deserve. Right? This is a scary idea. It's great, because this is a blessing, remember? This is a blessing. Every good thing we sow into our lives, every decision, every step we take towards God, towards our destiny, and our destiny always involves God, and our mission always involves God, we will reap back later and greater than we could ever imagine. God has put this principle in our lives so that we can do amazing things and more things than we ever thought possible. And yet so often this is spoken to this message is to the Christians, this message is to the church, because we think this. We think we can deceive God. God got you again in the back of our minds. And we keep sowing certain things into our lives. We keep filling up our sin buckets over and over again and just chuck it out the back. This guy over here, he wants to sow good things, yeah? No one plants a field and wants to get, no one farms thorns, no one farms weeds, right? And yet that's what we end up sowing into our lives so often, all of those decisions. It's interesting to note that the first part, yeah, I know, scary, scary picture. I also thought that at first. The first part, it talks in the whole Bible about, when it talks about sowing and reaping and getting stuff back from the ground, it's right here. Sin comes, bang, Adam and Eve fall. And God says to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, of you. Problem over there is not listening to his wife. Listen to your wives. But the problem is the sin. You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. It's so easy to sow these sow these thorns into our lives since the fall. It's so easy as Christians to do this, to take these little steps away. You know, Jesus said at one point, he said, if you're not for me, you're against me. When I look at my life and I count the steps that I've taken towards God, and I compare them to all the steps that I've taken that aren't necessarily towards God, but they're not that bad either. They're not sin, sure. Listen, it's not sin as such. But Jesus says, you know what? Anything that's not directly towards me is going directly away from me. It's then that I realize I'm in trouble. It's then that when I look at my life and I see every conversation, every thought that I have, because thoughts are seeds as well, that I realize I might have a problem. These last few weeks we've been talking about searching after treasure. And these things are it. As I said, they're amazing. They are the point of our lives. They're the culmination. The point of thorns, if you do biology or have any little bit of common sense, it's to protect the plant. It's to stop you from getting something from the plant. It's to pierce your vulnerabilities. Thorns aren't made to pierce tortoise shells. They're meant to pierce your soft little mushy bits, right? As you're reaching forward for fruit. Fruit in the Bible is often, it's the idea of gifts. It's the idea of these treasures that Pastor Mark has been talking about. And yet so often in our lives, just as we see with sin, we sow sin into our lives and these thorns spring up. These things that as we reach towards our destiny, as we move towards our passion, as we move according to our mission, these thorns start piercing our flesh right where we're vulnerable, right in our areas of weakness. It's those little secret sins or those little things that we keep in our lives that as we reach forward, and we see it everywhere, look in the newspaper, look at these great men and women who have fallen, or these great people who you talk to them in a private interview, and they're stressed, and they're worn out, and they just put on a strong face for everyone else. So often we're sowing thorns into our lives because of this, and we're reaping them later and a lot greater than we could ever realize. Right now, it's at this point, if I'm reading the Bible, if that's the Bible, ends there, and if it doesn't say anything else about thorns, I'm like, you know what, I'm in trouble, goodbye God, because it doesn't matter how much wheat you sow into your life, those thorns are still there. It doesn't matter how much good you try and cover up the thorns and thistles with, they're still going to grow. And yet, thank goodness, the Bible mentions thorns another time. It mentions thorns right after sin enters the world, and it mentions thorns again just before sin is dealt with. In the Gospels, this is Jesus is about to be crucified. It says, twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Remember we spoke about habits, these small steps? How many of you know that habits are almost like ways of thinking? It's just how we naturally get thought of, how we naturally think in a certain way. You know, these thorns, these vulnerabilities, Jesus showed that they pierce in your mind. They're these weaknesses and vulnerabilities in the way that you're thinking. And yet, we also read that God is not mocked. And over here, these soldiers are mocking him. They didn't realize what they're actually doing. But in that moment, they put a reed in his hand, and a reed signified weakness, and you can't trust a weed because it snaps in your hand. They put a reed in his hand, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. And Jesus stood up and said, I am the King of thorns. I am the King of vulnerabilities. I am the King of weaknesses. So often we love the first 3 weeks, the God of the first 3 weeks, and we say, God is great, God of my passion, God of my mission, God of my destiny, God is strong, God is the God of my strengths, and he is. God is the God of every skill that I have. God is God of my resources, and he'll multiply it. Let me tell you this, we will get nowhere if we don't realize that Jesus became the King of thorns on the cross, and we meet that Jesus as well, and we say, You are the King of my thorns. You are the King of my weaknesses. If we don't surrender that to him, it doesn't matter how much wheat you sow, you're still going to get a field full of thorns. Jesus said it quite clearly. We're talking about the finding our way, passion, mission, destiny. This week is the way, and Jesus said it clearly, one sentence. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. In summary, quickly, our way is completed step by step. Every step we take leads somewhere. We need to be aware. We need to have this awareness of these small steps, these small little seeds that we're sowing into our lives. We need to realize that even as we want to and we're moving forward and we put this sheet of what habits we're going to get into, what ways we're going to sow towards our destinies, we also need to be aware that, you know what, there's things that we're sowing into our lives that shouldn't be there. And we need to give those to God as well, just as we're giving our strengths to Him. We need to say, Lord, you need to clean this up. You need to take control over here. Our way can only be found in Jesus. I want to go back to this slide, just as we end in prayer. If we could all bow our heads. Jesus, thank you for blessing us so much, for putting these principles in our lives so that we don't have to be constantly on our toes, but we know that you work in certain ways, and you've given them to us. You've given us these principles as blessings. Thank you that you've given us passions that will get us excited and moving and make the days fly by and make us smile and laugh and dance and feel relief. Thank you that you've given us this mission that sets us apart because soldiers are different from the average civilian. Father, we're sorry when we sometimes forget that and we try and be a civilian in a war zone. We say that we're Christians, but we're actually just civilians, and we're sorry for that. We take up our missions again. Father, thank you for giving us these destinies, for having these plans for our lives, where it all just comes together and we say yes and amen, this is what I was here for. Thank you for blessing us over and over and over with all of these things. Thank you for being the God of our strengths, and being the King of strength. And yet, Lord, thank you also for being the King of our weaknesses. Father, we're sorry for those moments in which we say no. Jesus, you're King of my strengths, but this, you're not King here. Father, thank you that you conquered the thorns on the cross, that you conquered our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses on the cross. Thank you that we can bring those to you and say, you are the King of this. You are in control of this. You have won dominion over this. Father, thank you that you are the way, and you are the way that we're going to walk in as we move towards our destinies and all of these blessings that you have in our lives. Pray that we have an awareness of this in every step that we take. And we pray that every step that we take will be towards you. Amen.